prophetic declaration. What you are afraid of, you are giving life to. I'll say it again. What you are afraid of, you're giving life to. Starve that fear. The Word of God tells us how you starve that fear. By you knowing that you are loved. Perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. When you know the love of God, fear cannot be present.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see the O'Divers this morning, all the way from Alberta. God is good. They've been partners with us all through the years that we've known them. They've not failed in any month given to the purposes of God. And we are thankful to the Lord for them. They are true partners. Amen. God bless you. We started out during this new year, Rosh Hashanah, 5785, speaking about what God has called us to address. And it's a simple phrase, let God arise. Let God arise. And we said it is not just a declaration from our side to God and saying, God, arise, but God speaking back to us and saying, let me arise, because we have a role to play. We have to give rent to God, give space to God. For that word, let, means to allow, but it also means to rent, to give space to. Amen? So it is God's calling to us to let him be God in our lives. One of the first statements I heard from my spiritual father was this simple statement, take the limits off of God. Take the limits off of God. God will not invade your life, even though he has the power to, because he's giving you a free will. He's giving me a free will. And we need to exercise that free will appropriately. When we allow God to be God in our lives, extraordinary things happen. Ordinary people start to do extraordinary things. And as I saw the face of the Lord to hear what he will say to us today, he said, I want you to go to the story of Samson. And so I'm going to be talking to us about Samson today. I know you know much about Samson. You've read the story over and over. It's one of the, you know, extraordinary passages of scripture found in Judges chapter 13 to 16. This man did mighty things. It wasn't because Samson was buffed. You know, no. What was extraordinary about him was that Samson was like Pee Wee Herman. He was some skinny dude that you didn't expect anything from. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, he did things that you could not imagine. And you start scratching your head. Who did what? Who carried the gate out of here and dumped it over there in that mountain? Who killed 1,000 people just like with a jawbone? Who did that? Who is it that tore a lion up with his bare hands? This guy? Come on. You're not serious. No, not this guy. But it was that guy. Just like it is going to be told of you and of me that we did extraordinary things, and people start scratching their head. Who did what? Who laid hands on that dead man and the man jumped up and lived? Who did that? Who is it that touched that guy who is an amputee and two brand new legs grew out? Who? Come on. It can't be. I know the guy. I know the guy. And especially when you know the story of Samson, you will say, no, it can't be. Because this guy, Samson, was a mess up. But God chose a nobody to do something extraordinary. The key to Samson was when God's Spirit came upon him, he rose up. He did something. When the power of God comes upon your life, what do you do with it? In first, the book of Judges, the Bible tells us, it says the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. They did evil again. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. 40 years they were under the control of the Philistines. You see, the Philistines were a particular group of people that Israel did not dominate over and wipe out of the promised land. And so they stayed in the area of Gaza, Ashkelon, all of the, just by the sea. And the word Philistine means immigrant. Mama was talking about it earlier today. Immigrant. That's what Philistine means, an immigrant. And part of this, the reason why we are going through immigration issues in our world right now is because the last battle, or the beginnings of the last battles that we are going to address, is right now. So here are the Philistines, and they have dominion over the people of God, reason being that they did evil again. They went back to their old ways, doing that which was not righteous in the sight of God. And so they were dominated over for 40 years. But 40 represents a time of change. We talked about that last week. 40 means that grace and new beginnings are available. Praise God. When it was 400 years, Israel was ready to get out of Egypt, but they stayed another 40 years or so that they can fully get out. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. And when he came out of that wilderness, the Bible says he returned with power. Hallelujah. I believe God is calling us to a place and a time of empowerment. He's speaking over our lives and saying, I want to do something new, something strange, something different. I want to do something amazing in and with you and through you and by you. Are you ready for a change in the mighty name of Jesus Christ? And if we are ready, God is ready. Hallelujah. He says, and there was a certain man of Zora. Zora is a place of hornets, wasp, a sting. It says, of the family of the Danites. It's of the family of the Danites. Danites, the word Dan means judge. This is the fifth child of Jacob, but the first child of the, the servant. The servant, Leah or Rachel, one of them. God was speaking through this particular situation and saying, grace is coming. Grace is coming. Grace is coming. Grace is coming. So he's there. And it says, the name of this man, this certain man of Zorah, was Manoah. Manoah means rest. But there was nothing restful about his life. His wife was barren. He was childless. And the Bible says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and began to speak to her and said, behold, now, right now, thou art barren. And right now, you're not bearing any children. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. I'm going to change your now to a different now. Hallelujah. God can change our situation, whatever the situation is. So the woman goes to the husband and says to the husband, there's a guy who told me I'm going to have a child. The husband says, who is this guy? He said, I don't know his name and I don't know where he came from, but he told me I'm going to have a child and that I should not drink any strong drinks, I should not take wine, I should not eat anything that's not kosher. So Manoah goes to prayer and says, God, will you please let me see this man in verse 8? Will you let me see this man that came and spoke to my wife? Okay? Bible says God answered him. And when he saw this man, the Bible says he said to the man, let your words, what you said to my wife, let it happen for us. Will you say that with me? Father, let your promise to me come to pass. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? What exactly should I do when this promise is made manifest? What shall I do right now to make it possible for this that you have ordained to do in my life and in my wife's life not to be hindered? I would like to ask you to stand with me and say this word, Father, you have promises, prophetic declarations over my life that now must come to pass. Father, show me how to align myself to your perfect will so that I can rise by the anointing to fulfill your divine mandate without delay in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, help me now. Help me now. Amen. You may be seated. So, man said, this is going to be okay. But Manoah said, before you leave, I have to bring an offering. I have to bring something substantial. They're still thinking he was a man. He says to them, he says, I'm not going to eat the bread that you bring. But the burnt offering that you bring, offer it unto the Lord. We need to understand that whatever it is we bring to God, whatever it is that we are offering, it is unto the Lord. If you lose sight of that particular fact, that every time you bring something to a man of God, to the house of God, that you are really offering it to the Lord, God Almighty. And it is God Himself that will reward you. Never give anything without you recognizing that you are giving it unto the Lord. Because if you don't understand that you're giving it unto the Lord, you will be shabby in your giving. You'll be doing things like, as if you're tipping somebody at McDonald's. And that rarely happens. I don't think people at McDonald's ever get a tip. Strange. But God wants to meet you. And if you're going to meet and connect with Him, you have to come into a covenant with Him by the giving. And so here, the angel of the Lord takes, accepts the offering. He says in verse 19, so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock. I want you to notice. He says he offered it upon a what? A rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the what? From off the what? The rock? From off the altar. The rock became an altar because of the offering. Without an offering, an altar is just a stone. It is the blood sacrifice that changes it. If you want an altar, you have to bring an offering. You know why they call this an altar? It's because this is where you bring your offering. And that's why we don't pass a plate. Because your seat is not the altar. Amen? You bring your seed unto God and present it unto Him, and the ordinary place becomes an altar. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want a transformation? Praise God. Your house can become an altar if you bring an offering unto the Lord in your house and say, God, I'm releasing this unto you. Wherever you release the seed unto God becomes an altar. As far as you bring it unto the Lord, you cannot give an offering to yourself. Say, so, Lord, I'm bringing you an offering. Here it is. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm going to McDonald's. It doesn't work that way. If you want to change things, do it according to the word of the Lord. The Bible says that in verse 24, it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, hallelujah, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. He says that angel never came back. The job was done. And in verse 24, the Bible tells us about the birth of the young man. It says, and the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. Samson means sunlight, like the sun. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. The Lord baraked him. Infused them with his spirit and his power. And the Bible says, and the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times, at particular moments, the spirit of God will move him. In the camp of Dan, that's judge, between Zorah, the place of hornets, and Eshtaol, the place of entreaty. So the Spirit of God is moving upon this man. God is using him. And we come to chapter 14. And we're going to hear the first words from the mouth of this man. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 14. Help me with my screens. One is doing nothing. The other is just flashing. He said, and Samson went down to Timnath. Timnath means portion. And saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, first words from the mouth of Samson, I have what? Seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. First words, I've seen a woman. This is a Nazarite, is separated unto God. He's not supposed to eat anything unclean, attached to anything unclean. His hair was not to be shaven ever. But his first words were, I saw a woman. And he says to his father and mother, now therefore, get her for me to wife. I saw a woman. I want her. Go get her for me. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there, watch these words, is there never a woman? In essence, this Samson that is supposed to be anointed was always going in the wrong direction. He's always going to the Philistines to look for a woman. And the father and mother say, are there no Jewish women around here? Why do you keep on going over there? Now you know that we've got problems. And this is going to be the life of this man. Chosen of God, that he is. Separated unto God, that he is. But he has a problem. A major problem. It's amazing how many people of God that God has chosen and picked out for a particular purpose that have addictions in their lives that ruin them because they have not taken a hold of themselves and defeated their worst enemy, themselves. That was his problem. The father says, is there never a woman? Is there never? Never? Or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised, not without covenant people of Philistines? Especially these ones that have been dominating us. You see, the problem The problem is this man is anointed. Yes, he is. There's no doubt about it. The Spirit of God comes upon him and he moves with great power. But he has a complex. This complex is a complex that makes him feel inferior underneath. Now, please listen to what I'm talking to you about right now. From about 1:20 a.m. this morning till about 5:30 this morning, the Lord did not let me sleep. I will sleep, but he kept on pounding into my spirit something. And during this message, I'm going to pound it on you too. The problem is he did not fully know who he was. That was Samson's greatest problem. With all the power, you see, in the natural, he saw his weakness. It is by the Spirit of God resting upon him that something extraordinary happens. When you have been under oppression for so long, you start thinking that the oppressor is better than you. And because his thinking was that, in his subconscious level, he manifested it by going after their women to get some sense of importance. But really what made him feel, should have made him feel important, was the very fact that the Spirit of God was upon him. I never thought about that. But the Lord kept on pounding it into my spirit, saying, listen, get my people to begin to acknowledge the fact that they are special and not give right and power to the enemy. Believers don't think of themselves as blessed and highly favored. They think about the people of the world, that they are the ones who are succeeding, that they are the ones who are making it. They are greater than us. But God says, no, no, no. Stop thinking that way. Nobody is greater than you. Praise the Lord. In fact, as you read through this passage, you're going to find a name called Elon. Elon, like Elon Musk. And the name Elon means mightier. But God is speaking to you and to me today and saying, nobody is mightier than you. Have a sense of destiny, purpose, the dignity and the honor that God has bestowed upon you by His Spirit, and stop looking at your physique and what you think you can accomplish in your own strength. Because the answer to your victory is not in the lies of the enemy. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says, having asked his parents for that woman, God spoke to his parents and said, do it. Get him that woman. Because God had an agenda. And the agenda was to break the shackles of dominion that the Philistines had over the people of God. The Bible says, "And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath," meaning portion, "and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him." A young lion roared. "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done." So they go in, and this lion roars against him and rips the thing apart. He didn't tell his father, he didn't tell his mother that he had been challenged by a young lion and that he killed that lion with his bare hands. They had not seen him operate like that. What do you think they would have said if he said that he did that? "You skinny guy, you did that? Stop lying to us." He kept his mouth shut. And that's a wise thing. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. I believe Mama said something like that this morning. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. You don't need to spill everything. He kept his mouth shut. He didn't tell his father. He didn't tell his mother. And they went to get the woman. After a few days, he came by that same lion and, to check, did I really do that? Was I dreaming, or did I really rip a lion apart? And he got there, and sure enough, the lion is there. But there are no hornets, the bees, and there's honey. Something is changing. Hornets are hornets. Wasps. Bees are bees. Hornets, wasps, don't produce honey. Bees do. But this is the amazing thing, that he is getting sweetness out of death. Somebody listening? He's getting what? Sweetness out of death. Because God wants to turn around your death experiences and bring sweetness out of it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, "Lord, put your hand on your head. Turn every bitter day, every experience of death in my life around. Bring sweetness out of it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive sweetness out of every death experience." Amen. 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 God has to turn your evil experiences into great experiences. When the enemy comes challenging, says, "I'm going to kill you," God has honey on his mind. Oh, I don't know if you heard that. I said, when the young lion comes after you, trying to attack you, trying to kill you, God has honey on his mind. Every experience, every challenge, God has something greater on his mind for you. Celebrate in the name of Jesus Christ the sweetness in your life, the goodness of God in your life, the sureness of God in your life. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has great things on His mind for you and I. It is not defeat. Yes, challenges come, but a testimony is coming after every test. Let me say it again. A testimony is coming after every test. Do you receive that? It says, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands. He didn't have a cup. He didn't have a plate. Because that's what, he wasn't expecting that. Who's expecting honey out of a carcass? And that's how God is going to bring you into the place of surprises. Hallelujah. Surprises. You're not ready for it. You're not prepared for it. You didn't know anything was happening there. But God is positioning you and I to experience something that we're not expecting in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. An expectation. This is the experience of the unawares. You remember we talked about that last Friday? Not only is the net going to catch the enemy in the place called the unawares, but God is bringing you into that place of the unawares where you experience sweetness when you were not expecting anything. You were just going there to find out whether did I really, or was I dreaming? And you find out, no, you were not dreaming. But there's something better than not dreaming. You're going to get sweetness in a place that you were not expecting it, unawares. Hallelujah. So he grabbed some in his hand. For you to get that kind of honey in your hand, how thick was that? He must have the honeycomb and all of that was there, and he just grabbed, ate some, took some to his father and the mother. But the Bible says he did not tell them where he got it from, that he got it out of the carcass of a lion. Because they're going to say, you got what from a dead what? I don't want that. Yuck! Well, sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. Amen? So it was. But this young man didn't have any friends. So they had to hire friends for him. Companions to come to his so-called wedding. I'm not making it up, it's in the Bible. 30 guys. So he says to the 30 guys, I got a riddle for you guys. I say, a riddle? We can handle riddles. What's your riddle? And he begins to share his riddle. He says to them, he says, this riddle, I'd like you to give me the answer to it in 7 days while we have this feast. And if you tell me the answer to my riddle, I'll give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. I'll suit you up, all 30 of you. But if you cannot tell me, the meaning of my riddle, then you're going to have to give me 30 sheets and 30 change of clothes, nice suits. They said, okay, we can handle it. Tell us your stuff. So he says to them, out of the eater, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. What is the meaning of my riddle? And they spent 3 days. They couldn't come up with it. So they went to the young lady that he was going to be married to. He says in verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee. I want you to watch those words. Burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? You brought us here so that you can have this guy swindle us off of our stuff? And Samson's wife, the Bible says, wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me. You hate me. You hate me. You don't love me. You put father riddle on the children of my people. Oh my Lord. And you've not told me. And Samson says, I didn't tell my parents either. But wait a minute. You want Samson to tell you the secret, the answer to the riddle, so that this man that you say you love has to pay them. Rather than they paying you. Why? Because they said they're going to come and burn your house. Your father, you, and the house. That's why. Fear causes this woman to go after Samson. Samson buckles under this harassment. He tells her. She goes off. She tells them. They come back on that seventh day and they give the answer. Now Samson has to cough out all that stuff, the sheets, the suits. Samson says, okay, that's how you want it. Let's do it. So he goes out to Ascalon. He finds 30 guys, kills them, takes their clothes. And comes and gives it to them. Says, you paid up. Huh. Interesting. What is going to happen? Does he marry this woman? No, he leaves. He takes off. I can't trust you. And he leaves. I don't know how long he left for, but the father of the mother, or the father of the girl, hands over the girl to his best man. Best man, you marry her. Samson comes back after a while. Says, I forgive her. I want my wife. And the father says, not on your life, she's given to somebody else already. How is it that he's bold to tell Samson and not allow Samson? Because Samson, without the anointing, is weak. He's like everybody else. Even an old man can push him around. If he was that strong, he would just push him, you know, with his pinky out of the way, grab his wife and leave. But he can't. He's not that strong. So many times, you and I face things and we know in ourselves we cannot deal with it. I don't have the power to do it. And then there are other times you do something amazing and you forget to link the two together. My capacity and ability to do what God says I can do is by His Spirit upon me. The interesting thing about it for us today as believers is that the Spirit of God doesn't just come upon us, it is in us. And we have the capabilities to do extraordinary things now and at all times by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we need to come into that awareness in recognizing that we are the chosen of God. I am the chosen of God. God picked me. God has picked you. And He has a plan and a purpose for you. And you must not deal in life based on what you know in the natural, but based on the leading and the appointing of God. God has appointed you. God has a plan and a purpose for you. So the man freaks out when he hears that his wife has been given to somebody else. And so he goes out into the field. The Spirit of God is upon him. And he catches 300 foxes. 300 foxes. How this guy catches 300 foxes, I don't know. How he had control over 300 foxes, I don't know. I don't need to know, other than God can do great and mighty things that you cannot explain through a life. And he joins these foxes, their tails, 2 to 1, and then he attaches a touch to the end, takes them to a cornfield, ignites the torches, and this foxes go crazy. They run all over the place. They burn up everything. The harvest is gone. Gone. So they ask, who did this? Who has caused us this problem? In chapter 15 and verse 6, it says, then the Philistine said, who had done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and did what? Burnt her and her father with fire. Is that not what they promised before? If you don't tell us the secret to this man's riddle, we're going to burn you and your father and the house. Whatever it is they said, they finally did. Hello? You know what the point is? Never compromise yourself, because whatever it is that you are afraid of will happen. Job said, the thing that I feared has happened. What you are afraid of is what's going to happen. It's just a matter of time, child of God. That's why you and I must never yield ourselves to fear. Don't compromise yourself thinking that you're going to get something. No, you're going to get nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing but the damage that you are trying to escape from. They died unnecessarily. In Judges 14:15, they said, "We're going to burn you guys up." In Judges 15:6, they did it. Samson finds out that the wife he came for and the father-in-law are dead. And he loses it. He just loses. He lost it. And he goes after them, and the Bible says in verse 8, "And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam." He just goes and sits in this area where wild beast, that's the name of what Etam means. He went and started staying with the wild beast. So the Philistines came. They went to the people, the leaders of Judah, and they said, "You have a bad boy. He's doing bad things to us. We want him. We want to tie him up, but actually we want you to go and tie him up and bring him to us." So yes, the leaders went up to Etam and they tell Samson, "You've been a bad boy, you know that. You're killing people all over the place. And don't you know that those people have had dominion over us? And you're messing with them?" He said, "Well, they started it. I finished it." He said, "Well, we know they started, they finished it. We don't care about that. They said we should bind you and present you to them." And he says to them, "Listen, I will let you bind me, but don't you kill me." He said, "That's fine." So they bound him and they took him to the judges. And he got there. They started yelling at him. They shouting at him. And you know, they shouting curses. And the Bible says, "And when he came unto Lehi," Lehi means the place of the jawbone, "the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." My prayer today is that when the enemy is railing at you, shouting at you, that the Spirit of God will rise up inside of you, that you will rise up in the strength and the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to see the demise of the forces of darkness, because the greater God is in you than he that is in the world. The devil's a liar. Greater is he that is in you. And the fire of God burned within him. And the ropes that were tying him just broke. The Bible says the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. The Word of God tells us that God makes his angels spirits, but his servants, his ministers, flaming fire. May the fire of God be shot in your bones, like Jeremiah said. Let the fire of God burn within you so that anything that is contrary is burnt away. Every chain, every bondage removed from your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let every satanic agenda fail, 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 fail in the mighty name of Jesus as the power of God flows in you and through you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Fire of God began to burn those things off. He grabs a jawbone, and that day 1,000 Philistines were done. He found a new jawbone. How a new jawbone means something died. Out of the carcass of a lion, sweet honey. But out of the jawbone, the Bible says, a new jawbone. That means that the rottenness just finished. Let the rottenness around the weapon that God wants to use you to bring about defeat to the enemy, let God speedify it. Hallelujah. Let it be speedified. Let receive a jawbone. Hallelujah. Brand new weapon. Some say, brand new weapon. Say it again, brand new weapon. It's an unlikely weapon, but it is a weapon anyhow. God can use anything in your hands. Hallelujah. I remember watching an old movie, karate movie, and this guy used paper to kill people. How? Well, God will use anything in your hand to accomplish his purpose. He says, what's in your house? He says, I only just have one pot of oil. Oh, that's more than enough in the hands of God. What do we have here? Oh, we just have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what will that do among all these thousands? And Jesus says, just bring it to me. Let's see what God can do with this. You say about yourself, I say about myself, what can God do with my life? And God says, give me a try. See what I can do with a nobody. He's still doing the same thing today. Hallelujah. He qualifies the unqualified. Brand new jawbone, and 1,000 men are gone. Gone. But man has a problem. He goes to a place called Sorek. Actually, before that, the Bible tells us that after he slew that 1,000 men, he became very thirsty. And he thought he was going to die. You see, because you're anointed does not mean that you cannot be tired. In fact, the word of the Lord tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering to people so powerfully that he got so tired they had to carry him into a boat as he was. In fact, I don't know if you're ready for this. He had ministered so much that it was like he lost his mind. It's like he went, You wouldn't think that will happen, but it happens. The strain of ministry can affect you. That's why we need to pray for men and women of God. God has given an assignment to that God continually refreshes them. That's why we must do everything to make sure that the men and women of God that God has placed in our lives are not stressed. Do you know that the ministry is possibly the most stressful occupation? It's right there. Some people drop it to number two or three, but a lot of the stats says it's number one, being a minister. And then you give the minister more stress. That's not partnering with God. We must make certain that whatever that man or woman of God is doing, that he has what he needs to do it. Doesn't need to worry about it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't kill your pastor. you're not doing that. But I'm not speaking just to us here. I'm speaking to a world out there. You know, people come to church and they drop $5 in their offering. They drop a dollar, a loony, and maybe 5%, 10% of that church gives most of the offering. The rest of the people just drop pennies. How does the bill get paid? Who carries that weight? The man is thirsty. He thought he's going to die. And God did something. God found a hole in the jawbone. And out of that hole, that space, he caused water to come out. He caused water to come out of the weapon that the man had just used. God was operating through death to bring life. He was speaking about his dying and how he was going to rise again from the dead and by so doing, give life from death. You go out there and you plant a crop. You put the seed to the ground. And the first thing it does, goes through, is that it has to die. Remember the word the Lord gave to us some months back? Something needs to die if you need to get away or get ahead in life. Something has to die. And I say today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, whatever needs to die in your life must die now so that life may come forth, so that you can be refreshed and renewed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Change must come. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, my time is going. Anyway, the Christians come, they're upset. He goes into this harlot in Sorek, leaves that one, and he finds Delilah. Delilah means feebleness. And I need to say something right here, especially to men. It is not the strong woman who has everything together that is your problem. It is that's the problem. Because the one that is is the one that you're going to go and, oh, sorry, baby, it's okay, it's okay, and you'll be in trouble. Run from feeble women. Run. Fast. Go in the other direction, man. Because what you did not intend will tend to you. And you'll be finished. Capish? Everybody listening? Secondly, this is a message. The Lord was driving deep into my spirit. He said, that which you compromise to will dictate your future. And he began to illustrate it to me in so many ways. That's why it took so many hours. And one of the illustrations that really captured it, I will try to explain it without it becoming off. He showed me a woman that is supposedly strong, that did not know who she really was and had not captured and restrained herself. This woman was a married woman, and there were these three women. These three women were not married, but she, because she was not staying under the covering of the husband, joined in relationship with these three women. Now, those three women said they were going to a particular country. They're going on a trip. This strong woman decides she's going to go on that same trip. So I see them together, and the three women and her, those three women decided that the bill for that trip was going to be equally shared. These three women, booze, they drink alcohol and all kinds of stuff. And they say to this woman, married woman that came, we are sharing the bill equally. Is that okay with you? But because she wanted to be friends with them, she said, yes. In essence, she's going to pay for their booze. But she was a believer, this strong woman. She was a believer. She says, I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to join. The scene changes, and they're in the hotel room. And these three women were going to be fooling around with some guys. They are out there. And this strong woman, believer, was in the same room. And I came to this woman, I said to her, I said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? If these three women start engaging in filthy stuff, their action is going to seduce you, and you're married, and if a guy comes in here, you are going to join with them in their mess. Do you understand that you are in the wrong place? And the vision cleared up. I said, Lord, what are you saying? He says, your compromise will get you to do what you didn't expect to do when the seducing spirit comes around you. Everything that you used to believe will be gone because you've not stayed steadfast with what you should believe and stand for. Somebody listening? That is the story of Samson. He allowed himself. Three times, Delilah comes to him and says, Tell me the secret of your power. Tell me what will destroy you. Those are exact words. Tell me what will destroy you. And three times, he lies to her. He tells her this story, and tells her the other story, and tells him the other story, and each time, whatever it is that he told her did not work, until he finally, after she had the feeble woman beat him down emotionally. He says, okay, I'll tell you. My hair has never been caught. This has never happened. This has never happened. If you do this, if you do that, this is going to happen to me. And she goes and tells the leaders of the Philistines, says, now, we're ready for you. We're ready. I believe he's told me all this story. And so she sat down. And it caused him to lay his head upon her knees. And then she called for a man. You hear that? She didn't shave his hair. She called for a man. And the man came. And this is how the enemy works. If he is going to destroy a man, it's not just the woman. That man, there's got to be a man that shaves off the hair of grace, authority, and power, because the man has been emasculated. Do you understand what I said? You emasculate the man. You make the man not feel like a man by bringing another man. A woman that compares her husband to another man is emasculating that man. You're causing him to become feeble so that another man can shave his hair off. That is not our portion. Hallelujah. Never emasculate your husband. Never weaken him. Never cause him to become feeble. You know, weak at the knees. That's where that comes from. You see, Delilah's story. Feebleness. Stop it. You make the man in your life a king. Help him rise up to his rightful place. Not comparing him with anybody else. An emasculated man will never rise up to what you expect him to be. So the Bible says, they did it. She pounded on him, wakes him up, and he feels like he's okay. The Bible says he began to shake himself, but he did not know the Lord was gone from him. And his eyes were plucked out. The hair is gone. He's blinded. Mighty Samson is blind. And the Bible says that he was bound with fetters of brass. That's an amazing statement. That word brass there is a Hebrew word, not just describing the metal as brass, but are you ready for this? The word means lust. He's bound by lust. He's blind and he's still stuck The guy is still stuck. But his hair began to grow again. And they brought him out to be, you know, walking around in prison, grinding grain. There's a young man there. He says, get me to the pillars that hold this entire structure. So he brought him to the pillar. And the Spirit of God was upon him. And he says, Lord, one more time. One more time. Give me all of them. And let me die. If he had spoken something else, God would have done something else. When you have a limitation in your thinking and you don't have a sense of fulfillment inside of you in the subconscious level, you accept anything. The power of God was present. The pillars moved. The whole building crashes on everybody. They all die. But the incredible thing is, his body is intact. He's still intact, and they were able to take him and bury him properly. That was not God's plan. God's plan was for him to be used to deliver Israel. Samson became, in a sense, the last judge. The real last judges were Eli and then Samuel. But Samson was the last, the beginning of the change. May God touch everyone here today. That's my prayer. And cause us not to live in a compromised state, not give room to compromise, trying to be like somebody else. God has not called you to be like somebody else. God wants you to be like him. Wants me to be like him. So now rise with me. Father, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Let your anointing rise upon us. Let it rest in us. And may we rise up by the authority of your word to be world changers, every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. May our heart's desire always be for you. May we never compromise our faith, our walk, our beliefs. May we never, never, never allow anyone to so derail us that we give up the secrets of the kingdom. Help us, your people, build your church. The church that the gates of hell will never and can never prevail over. Make us what you have called us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you came today and participated in this service. I trust that something that was said today has so touched you and will continually bring about transformation. Amen. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. I forgot, I guess you might say, to speak to us about our Mission Sunday, which was last Sunday. And if you did not honor God with a special missions offering, please do today. If you can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just come, let us honor God with our giving right away, and then we're going to share in communion together. If you need communion elements, just raise your hand and an usher will get to you. Some people, I see some hands on my left. Anyone else? If you need communion elements, just raise your hand. Is somebody at the top left? Is somebody right in the middle there? Right there. Right there. Same row. You went past. Right there. With a shiny outfit. And then some to your left over there. Do I have John online? Please let me know. Table of communion. My prayer is that as we share in communion together today, that we will experience the healing graces of God and empowerment from above. That God will cleanse us deep within. There are areas in our lives, chosen we are, blessed we are, all of that is true. But sometimes there are areas in our subconscious level that betray us. Lies that come to conflict with the truth that God has for us. As we take off this body today, may the light of God shine brightly, expose everything that needs to get off of our lives so that we live fully, glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Samson has a wonderful name, Sunlight, like the light. And sometimes he was that, and other times he was not that. May we not be people that blow hot and cold. Let us be what Jesus Christ came to accomplish. Take and eat in remembrance of the Lord.
Holy Spirit, fill me through and through.
Fill me through and through.
Never leave my life.
Never leave my life.
Let always there be a nudging.
that there will always be a nurture
in my spirit.
In my spirit.
To choose God.
To choose God.
To choose righteousness.
To choose righteousness.
To choose holiness.
To choose holiness.
To choose you.
To choose you.
Above all.
Above all.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Take and drink.
Amen. Make the funnel. Father, pour into us until we are overflowing and impacting lives all around the world.
Amen.
Near and far. Fill me to the overflow.
Hallelujah.
Say it with me, fill me, Lord.
Fill me, Lord.
Till I am overflowing.
Till I'm overflowing.
With your goodness.
With your goodness.
Your mercy.
Your mercy.
Your power.
Your power.
Your wisdom.
Your wisdom.
Your knowledge.
Your knowledge.
Your understanding.
Your understanding.
I live.
I live.
Fulfilled.
Fulfilled.
Because I am anointed.
Because I'm anointed.
To destroy yokes.
To destroy yokes.
And to remove burdens.
And remove burdens.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Well, before you leave, let me just greet some very dear people. Oh, let's do Zoom first, and then I'll go to the rest. Okay. We have, oh, Sister Carol, you know.